Good morning, everybody. It's a really great privilege to be here, Pastor Alfonso and Crystal, to share this time with you and to. I feel honored just to minister to you today, and what the Lord has laid upon our heart to share. I know that what I'm going to share this morning is going to be maybe new to your understanding or new to you to receive it, but. Megan, you shared a scripture this morning that confirmed that I had to share it. And the scripture she shared was that we need to behold the loving kindness of our God. If what you are hearing today doesn't bring you closer to God, then discard it. If what I'm saying to you doesn't draw you closer to your intimate place with God, then discard it. But if it brings you to a place where you meet God face to face and you have an intimate encounter with Him, then embrace it with everything you have. Because God desires for you to discover Him, but you can't discover Him through your own philosophy and belief system and ideas. You can only know God the way He knows you. What He thinks of you will tell you what you think of Him. You can't define God outside the way He looks at you. Do you get that? So this morning, I feel privileged to just share with you this morning and just to be with you this morning. I feel like, except for Porsche, why am I so nervous for ochend? I was never nervous, but for ochend is I'm nervous. I don't know if it's funny is or what it is. But I feel very nervous this morning. But I know that God is here with us. I know that His presence is here with us. I know that through the worship He's already confirmed a lot of things. So I just want to, can we stand again? Can we just stand? I want you to put your hand on your head, right? And just say this to yourself. Talk a bit to yourself and say, Kop. Moet asseblief nie in die pad staan nie. Because God will speak to your heart. Amen. Father, I come this morning in the name of Jesus. And I release your anointing in this place for revelation to flow freely in the name of Jesus. I pray that your anointing will break every lie of the enemy, will come against every deceitful lie of the devil that has kept us in bondage for years. And I pray in Jesus' name that the anointing will break every yoke, destroy every burden. I pray for a spirit of revelation, of insight and enlightenment to come to every heart and mind, that our minds will see what God sees, that our thoughts will be in line with God, and that we will agree with God and not with our own thinking and our own ways of thinking. So, Father, I thank you this morning for your anointing. I thank you for your word. Your word says, to the entrance of your word, there is light. I pray for the light of God, for in your light, we see light. I pray for that light to just illuminate us this morning in Jesus' wonderful name. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys may be seated. I think we all live in a world with lots of opinions and perceptions and philosophies. And the world we now know is very different to the world we knew 30, 40 years ago. Things are changing all the time. People are constantly asking us to think and see things differently and to perceive things differently. So if I'm going to just lift up my iPad before you, if I just lift up my iPad, you're going to have a perception of this from how you see it. I'm going to see this, and you're going to see that. I'm going to give you a description of what I see with my eye of the same thing that we look at, but from my viewpoint. So we need to move away from your perception, my perception, who's right, who's wrong, and get into a place where we need to hear and be still and know that He is God. That let every man be a liar and let God be true. Because there's a testimony that 1 John 5 verse 9 says is great, but God's testimony is greater. So if we allow ourselves to receive the testimony that God has of us, that's the place when we will find peace. That's the only constant place that we will find. Because the only constant place there is the love of God. Nobody loves you like God does. Nor your husband, nor your wife, nor your children. Nobody loves you like God does. And even in my time in my own life, many things has happened. In your life, many things has happened. Many still might happen, good or bad. So the question is, how do I define my life in the light of what happened to me? For instance, in my 48 years on this planet Earth, how do I define my life in terms of what has happened in the last few years? Amen? Some of us may have had very traumatic experiences, very difficult circumstances that has happened to us. And some of you, as I speak, go through a very painful experience. Something that you've been saying to God, God, if you can just give me the strength for another day. That nobody maybe know of. That you go through a place in your life that you do not know if you're coming or going. And this morning I would like to speak to you about something in your life that's going to change your life forever. Because there's more to you than what just meets the eye. Amen? There's more to you than just your last experience, good or bad. God wants to come to us, and He wants to speak to us in a way that we come to know that there's more to you and that you are bigger than your last or your worst experience. Just there, I can go home and you should be fine. If I just go home now and leave you with that thought that your life is bigger than your worst experience and your greatest success, nothing can define you more than God Himself. Amen? Now, if I should ask you, and I'm going to use a lot of examples this morning, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will imprint it in your heart. You don't need to believe. It doesn't take any faith for you to believe your experience this morning. You know your experience. But it takes faith and courage to believe when God speaks to you. It takes faith and courage to see what God sees concerning you. Because your experience is going to say, it's impossible. What you just say to me, what the Word of God says to me now, it's impossible. Because it requires faith for you to believe when God speaks. Amen? It's true. It requires nothing of you to believe what mess you are in today. It requires nothing of you to believe what experiences you may go through now, positive or negative. You need no faith for that. It's there. It's in your life. But it requires of you faith to see what God sees concerning you. God had to come to many people throughout the Bible. He had to come to Gideon and say, hey, you're a man of valor and of strength. And he couldn't see it. Moses disqualified himself and says, I can't be the person that you call to lead the people out. I can't speak to Pharaoh. I hardly can speak. But God saw something in him that was bigger than himself. Amen? God will always see something in you that you at this very moment can't see. And unless you see it, your life will stay mediocre. God will never bring you to your next level until you come in agreement with what God sees and what He believes concerning your life. Amen? Now, let's go to the book of Hebrews. And we're going to start there, and I'm going to take you through a few scriptures. And then we're just going to go through what I believe the Holy Spirit wants to share with you this morning. You see, God throughout eternity had a word for man. God didn't come to the church. He came to the world. God so loved the world. He didn't come to the church. He came to the world. God loves man. He loves humanity. Man was created by God. But God wants us to see his love for man. And unless we see the message that God has, we're going to miss it. In Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 1. It says that in the beginning, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he has also made the world. Amen? God says he has spoken in many ways, but in these last days he has spoken to us through his Son. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10. And I'm going to read it to you out of this translation, which is the New American Standard translation. Verse 9 says, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, that is Jesus, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is the summing up of all things in Christ. In other words, all that God wants to say to man, he said through one person, Jesus Christ. All God wants to say to you and me, he will say to and through his Son, Jesus. There's not another message. There's not another thing that God wants to say to you today or tomorrow. Whatever he wanted to say, he has spoken already through the prophets. He has spoken already through many ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to you and me through his Son, Jesus Christ. So if we do not preach Jesus, and if we do not see Jesus, we will never know what God spoke to us. Because the summing up of all things is in Christ. Amen? 1 John 5 verse 9. Go with me there. 1 John 5 verse 9. I think I quoted to you, but I just want to read it so you can read it with me. Forgive me if I go through a lot of scriptures, but I would just want to share so you can see. It's in the Bible. 1 John 5 verse 9 says, by this love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. Sorry, I'm reading the wrong scripture. 1 John 5 verse 9 says, if we receive the testimony of men, then the testimony of God is greater. For the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. Do you see that? Right, go with me to 1 Corinthians now. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to read from verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. There we see that the testimony of God is greater, and that the testimony that God has concerning us is what he has of his Son. So God says, whatever I say of my Son, that I say of you. Because the testimony of God is greater than the testimony of man. Whatever I think of Jesus, that I think of you. 1 John 1 verse 4, let's confirm that. 1 Corinthians 1 verses 4. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and in all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. You see, everything about this Bible is about Jesus. And everything about Jesus is about you. God doesn't reveal Jesus in isolation of you. He reveals Jesus, and when we see Jesus, we're supposed to see ourselves. God doesn't put Jesus on a pedestal at the expense of the church. Jesus, and hear me clear, Jesus didn't come as an example for you, but he came as an example of you. Can I say that again? Jesus did not come to give you an example to strive after. He did not come as an example for you, but he came in as an example of you. The testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. If the devil can keep you busy trying to become like Jesus, you're going to try all your life. And you're going to postpone the purpose that God has for you now. Because the only person who can truly reflect God is the one who carries his image and his likeness. The only people on the planet Earth that can express God in his purest form is the person or the man or the woman who carries his image and his likeness. They ask Jesus a question. They say to him, Jesus, ons verstaan hierdie storie nie. The Romans wants to kill us, but they want us to pay taxes. And Jesus answered him this way. He says, bring me a coin or a denarii whose inscription is on it. They said, well, it is Caesar's inscription. He says, render then to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Megan, just come here quickly. Can I use it as an example? Bring me then a man, or a woman in this case, whose inscription is on her life. Speak to me. If the coin carries the inscription of Caesar, and you render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, bring me then a human being. Bring me then a woman. Ask, and he asked, whose inscription does she carry? Because if she carries my inscription and my likeness and my image, then render to God what belongs to God. Amen? We cannot make the mistake by allowing ourselves to look at people through physical eyes, through natural eyes, and do not see people the way God sees them. Yes, they may go through stuff. Yes, they may have sin in their life. Yes, they may have things that they are going through, but God has never forgotten his likeness and his image. And Jesus Christ came on the cross to redeem his image and to redeem his likeness back to us so that we can stand before God and say, Father, I was created by God. That's what Megan read to us. The first scripture when I walked in here, I heard her say the last word, and God reminded the people that he created them. Wasn't that what God spoke to us this morning? He said, I am the one who created you. I don't go to Volkswagen to find out how my car is supposed to function if I have a Volvo. I don't go to Mercedes-Benz if I'm driving a BMW for a service. If you want to know who you are, you have to find out who created you and what he thinks of you and what he says of you. Because if you're going to try and find it out from me or from your mother or from your father, you're making a mistake. Jesus asked his disciples, he says to them, who do men say that I am? He didn't ask them who God says I am. He says, who do men say I am? He says, well, some say you're a prophet, some say you Elijah. He says, but who do you say that I am? And he answers them and he says, well, Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, can I rephrase what Jesus asked? He says, who do you say the son of Joseph is? That's what Jesus really asked them. Who do you say I am, the son of Joseph? Because in the flesh, I am the son of Joseph and the son of Mary. But John answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And at that same moment, Jesus said, for flesh and blood could not have revealed this to you, because you're not judging me according to the flesh. You see me in the spirit. You see there's more to me than my natural DNA. I'm the God kind. And Jesus immediately went on. He says, Peter, but your name is not Simon Bar-Jonah. You're not born of Bar-Jonah. You are Peter. You come from the rock. We are born from the same rock. The same rock that gave you life is the same rock that gave me life. We come from the same rock. We're coming from the same rock. The same rock that begotten you is the rock that begotten me. Phew. I told you, you're going to need faith to hear what God believes of you. Because you need, faith is not something you have to work up. Faith comes. The Bible says faith comes by the hearing of the word. Your mind's going to go, kanivisi, kanivisi, kanivisi. Your heart's going to go, yes. There's more to me than meets the eye. There's more to me than just, I'm coming from Mitchell's Plain, born in Stellenbosch. This is my history. I have a DNA that sits in me that needs to be revealed. I'm the God kind. Amen. Hallelujah. In John chapter 1, let's go to the beginning. I want to take you there to something that I believe we need to understand. In John chapter 1, we're going to go right back now, and I'm going to go past your past and past your day that you were born. Amen? Do you believe that you're a tripart person? That you have a body? You have a soul, but that you are a spirit. Did you hear what I say? You are a spirit. You live in a body, and you have a soul. So the real you and the real me is not what you see with your natural eye. This is just the place that houses me. This body is just the vehicle that God has chosen to live in, to house the real me. Whew. And you are looking at me from a natural point of view. Tans were born in Stellenbosch 48 years ago, married to Portia, have two children. This is their history. That is their genealogy. But if I should ask you the question this morning, who do you say that I am? Who do you say I am? Am I just Tansville born, Tansville Davidson, or am I son of the living God? Born in the heart of God. A product of God's idea, not man's idea. A dream fulfilled that God thought of me before I was in my mother's womb. He knew me. Woo! Hallelujah! The Bible says, before I was in my mother's womb, he knew me. How can God know me if I wasn't even born yet? How can God know me if I wasn't even born yet? You know how it works. You have a baby, you give it a name. Because that's the time that child's life starts. But God has a different reference. He says, I know you before you were in your mother's womb. There is something to you that is bigger than what meets the eye. And Christ came to reveal it. Jesus is the summing up of your life. He's the revelation of who you really are. But if you don't see it, your life will stay mediocre. You will allow every circumstance in your life to define you. And every man's opinion will define you, good or bad. Today you feel good because they think good of you. Tomorrow they don't feel so good, so you're depressed. One day it goes well with you and you feel, wow, God is good. The next day it doesn't go so well. God must have forgotten me. So you define your whole life on the basis of your experience. God is saying to you tomorrow, stop it. you're far bigger than your experience. Your experience can't define you. Amen? Your experience cannot define you. You're God's love dream fulfilled. When He looks at you, He sees the very His idea coming in fulfillment. Oh, then you will enjoy every day of your life. Because you don't live in the expectation of someone else's opinion. You live in the smile of His face. You live in His opinion. And in 1 John 1, or not 1 John 1, but John 1, chapter 1, verse 1, we know the scripture very well. It says, in the beginning. So there's no other beginning for you. That's the beginning for you. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. We know these scriptures so well, but we don't see deeper what God is wanting to say to us. Because Jesus is the summing up of all things. So in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was the Logos of God, the Word of God, the idea of God. And God, His Word was God. Amen? But then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh. Every idea God had of man became flesh. And the Word became flesh. God wanted you and I to have a picture of what He wanted us to be. That's why they said to Jesus, aren't you Joseph's son? We played marbles together. I know you. You just live in Langstraat. I know you. I know you according to the flesh. Aren't you Joseph's son? Yet you say to the storm, be still. Yet you command the storm to be quiet. You look just like me. What makes you different than me? They asked Jesus, can you please show us the Father? He says, what do you mean? I've been so long with you. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because the Word was in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word stands now here in front of you. The Word is God. And you see Him in front of you. But it's easy to in a way believe that. But it's very difficult to believe that about yourself. It's easy to say that was Jesus. But oh my word, Tans, well that can't be me, can it? Don't you know that you are the temple of the living God? Don't you know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you know that you are God's favorite place to dwell? That you are His house? That you are His place where He resides? God has no other address. His address is you. God does not live in buildings made with hands, human hands. He has already had it building in mind. He wants to live boots and all in you. You're the only true reflection of Him because you're the only one that carries His image and His likeness. This building can't, in all its beauty, it can never display God in all its beauty the way you can. Hallelujah. I was in Ukraine. I couldn't speak a word of English, a word of Russian. The man that was with me couldn't speak any English. So I was sitting there, I said, Lord, you sent me all the way to Ukraine to minister, and this man can't understand a word of English? God said, you don't need a word. All you need is to be conscious of what you carry. You don't need a word, Tans. Well, all you need is to be conscious of who you carry, because I'm in you. And my gaze through your gaze will touch him. My touch through your touch will touch him. So I sat there. I said, Lord, what are you saying to me? So I said, I thought, what am I going to say? God said, you don't have to say anything. You're my letter. Your life is my letter. You are my display of who I am. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. So I sat there and I looked at Igor, and Igor looked at me. We didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to say to him. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, become conscious of who you are. Become conscious of what you carry. That you're a container of me. That I've chosen you to carry my glory, to carry my presence, to carry my love, to carry who I am. You, my unique expression. There will never be another me of you. There'll never ever be another way that God can reveal himself like he can reveal himself through me and through you, because you're uniquely like him in your own way. And so I sit there, and Igor was sitting there, and I touch his hand. And a minute I touch his hand with that consciousness, the Holy Spirit hit us both. We were in a place of complete love and acceptance. I was crying like a little baby. He was crying, I was crying. And we didn't know why we were crying. Because there was no words that was communicated. It was just the love of God flowing through me and recognizing I'm speaking to somebody that carries the image and likeness of God. I carry somebody that contains God in his unique way, and I need to connect with the God in him like he can connect with the God in me. Do you know the song we used to sing, the Christ in me greets the Christ in you? I don't think we realized what we were singing. Because as you sit there, your worst experience cannot in any way define you. You might have been the hardest criminal. You might have been whatever the world can label you with. God has only one label for you. A God container. You have the ability in you, not given by you, but given by God. Not qualified by you, but qualified by God. He chose you, remember? You didn't choose him. You love him, remember, because he first loved you. Everything he did first. There's nothing you and I can boast of. There's nothing you and I can be proud of. He chose me to be his dwelling place. I didn't choose him. He chose me. Hallelujah. So if you have a problem with it, sort it out with God. Amen? I know, as I stand here, I am imparting to you the love of God. I know it with a fact. I know it as I'm speaking with you. I'm carrying the presence of God with me, because that's what God says I am. I'm a container of his presence. Where I go, he goes. In him, I live and move and have my being. When is the church going to believe it? When are we going to believe what God says about us? Or are we continually going to believe what the enemy tells us? Portia shared such a beautiful scripture with you. All glorious things are spoken about you, O Zion. God is speaking glorious things about you. But it's time for you to believe it. Amen? Paul was walking and his shadow was falling on people. I'm not aware of my shadow as I walk here. But my shadow can fall on something. He was walking, but his shadow was falling on it and healing people. Whew. You're never conscious of your shadow. Every day you walk, your shadow is falling on people. So, if you walk with a consciousness of, ach, ek is nou hierdie sondaar, ek moet maar sukkel met my lewe, Here, help my elke dag. Or you walk with boldness and assurance. Father, I thank you for this day, the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice in it and be glad. Thank you that you've awakened my ear again to another day, to hear your voice, to hear your leading. Thank you, wherever I go, my shadow will fall on people, known and unknown, conscious and unconscious. People will have an experience of you through me. God hasn't chosen any other vehicle but you to represent him on planet Earth. Jesus prays a very important prayer. He says, Lord, please do not take them away. Please do not take them out of the world. And the whole church for the last 2,000 years is praying, Lord, please take me out. I want to be with you. Think of it. That's how I was brought up. I was brought up to deny the world and be with Jesus. Jesus prays, says, please do not take them out of the world, for the glory that you've given me, I've given them. So that where I am, they may be also. You in me, I'm in you, and we are in one another. Whew. That we one with God, one with his presence, one with who he is. I'm telling you, if we're going to get this message, we're going to love people like they've never been loved before. We're going to love deeply and honestly and earnestly. We're not going to be moved by your experience. I'm not interested in your experience. I'm interested in your image and likeness you carry. I want you to give to God what belongs to God. Excuse me. So God comes in Jeremiah chapter 1. And verse 12, he says, for I'm watching over my word to perform it. But before he does that, he asks Jeremiah a question. He says, Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah answers, he says, I see an almond tree. What is significant about an almond tree is that it's the first tree to blossom in winter. When the snow is still on the ground, the almond tree is blossoming because it announces a new season in the middle of winter. I'll say it again. God asked Jeremiah a question. What do you see? He says, Lord, I'm seeing an almond tree. And God says to him, you've seen well, my son, for I'm watching over my word to perform it. Maybe you sit in a winter's experience this morning, and God is asking you, what do you see? And he says, I've seen an almond tree. I see that God is announcing a new season in my life when I'm still sitting in my winter. For I'm watching over my word to perform it in your life. God wants to turn your winter around like that if you start to see what God sees concerning your life. If you see what he sees, you're going to experience what he wants you to experience. But if you sit in your winter, then the word can't perform in your life because you're not seeing together with God. God wants you to look beyond your winter this morning and see there's more to your life than the winter that you're currently experiencing, than the pain that you might currently experiencing, than that thing that you think, how can I ever get victory over this? God says, if you just see what I see concerning you, that thing will have no hold on you, because you'll come in agreement with what I see. You'll see the beauty of your life the way I see it. I've got a note here, and I want to make this illustration. You all can see this is a 100 rand note. And if I should do this to the note, tell me by when the note doesn't become a 100 rand note. It's still a 100 rand note. So if I kick it, stamp on it, when does the note not become a 100 rand note? What happens to the note is irrelevant, because in this note, there's a signature. There's an inscription that gives this note so much value, no matter what I do with it, it cannot take away its value. Amen? In Luke 15, the Bible says there was a woman, she lost a coin. And she did everything, turned the house upside down to look for the coin. That is actually given in Luke 15. He gives three examples. He gives the example of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Jesus wanted to share something with us in those parables because it flowed like that. He says if somebody has 99 sheep and lost the one, he leaves the 99 behind because the one is just as valuable as the 99 combined. Then there was a woman who had a lost coin. She did everything. The coin was lost, but she searched the whole house for the coin. Why? The coin might be lost. I can lose this thing. Ek kan nie 100 rand verloor. But it doesn't mean the value of the 100 rand has lost its value. You may find yourself in a lost state this morning. You might find yourself say, God, thanks, I'm so far from what you're talking about today. I don't feel as valuable as that. Things has happened to my life. I don't know what you're talking about. God wants to say to you, you might even feel lost, but your lost state has never lost your true value. What has happened to you can never define you. What has happened to you in Jesus, that is what defines you. Amen? So, if I must give you an example, many, many years ago, my friend told me about the story. And he said they were on their honeymoon and they were about to release it was somewhere up in Mpumalanga, and they were about to release an eagle that was stuck in, not stuck, but he was kept in a zoo or something. Or what was it, that old zoos that we used to have, these eagles. So every time this eagle fly, he knew he couldn't fly any further. So in his mentality, he was restricted. So they put this eagle on one of the cliffs in Graskop in Mpumalanga, and they released him. They put him out, and they said for hours that eagle was just sitting there because in his mind, he was still trapped. In his mind, he couldn't fly, although he was a free person. And it took hours after that for another eagle to come by. In that moment, when that other eagle blew its whistle, just like, just made a sound, the eagle that was trapped for many years heard the sound of his true identity. He didn't need a lesson, didn't need 5 steps to flying. It just needed to hear the sound of its original design. And in that sound of that original design, that eagle took off. I'm here to tell you, your original design is Jesus. If you hear the sound this morning of your true identity, you don't need 5 lessons how to live your life. You just need to recognize that's who you are, that you carry the image and likeness of God inside of you. God wants to blow His Spirit in you. He wants to blow His value in you so that you can see, no matter what has happened to you, that you don't be trapped by man's opinion. Trapped by what people think of you. Trapped by what you did wrong and people want to label you. God is what He is, and He's not going to change His mind about you. Amen? He's love, altogether love. God has no other address but you. You are His favorite dwelling place. You are the place that hy is op sy gemaklikste in jou. We get this idea that God is very, we are this bunch of people that are, God must just tolerate us. God must just tolerate us because, you know, we have lots of this and this and that in our life, and God must just tolerate us. He's very irritable with us. That's the worst idea you can have of you. That's what the devil wants you to believe. God is excited about you. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, to give you a future and hope. God says, I've desired you as my dwelling place. I want to express myself through you. I want to minister through you. I've chosen you to be my aroma and my fragrance. That wherever you go, people will get a glimpse of me. They'll get an expression of me. They'll get to know me better through you because you carry my image. You carry my likeness. Amen? Don't be like the eagle. You're completely free. But you are measuring yourself by your past experiences. And you're telling yourself this morning, I can't fly like that, Tans. I can't be what you're telling me I am. God says, yes, you can. Because you're hearing the sound of your origin this morning. You hear the sound of who you really are. What manner of man you really are. What manner of woman you really are in God. God is not intimidated by what happened to you the last 20 years. God has never lost His faith in you. I remember sitting with that same guy in Zimbabwe once, and he came to me and he says to me, I don't believe in this God stuff. I said to him, can I tell you something? Just one thing. He says, yeah. Really, like, you know. I said to him, the gospel is not so much about you believing in God. The gospel is really about God believing in you. Did anybody ever tell you that God believes in you? And he looked at me, he said to me, really? I said to him, yes. God wants to reveal His faith in you so that you can have His faith concerning your life. Because we don't walk in our own faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God concerning us. And when I hear what He believes of me, then I can truly love Him back. Then faith comes naturally. Then it just happens to you. And so this morning, I want to end off with this. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, it says that God chose us in Christ before the foundations of the world. He chose us before the foundations of the world. In other words, before you could make a mistake, He already chose you. Before you could get it right, He already chose you. He didn't wait on you to first impress Him to choose Him. I mean, if you can ask yourself this morning, what makes me so cool that God chose me? There's nothing in the natural that you can say, why did God choose me? But He chose you before the foundation of the world. Now, that word chose there in the Greek is a very nice word. It's the same word that applies to association, to associate yourself with. The simplest I can explain it is through Crystal and Pastor Alfonso. If Pastor Fonny comes into the church, then you're going to greet him with something like this. Hello, Pastor Alfonso. How's Crystal doing? Because you cannot think of him without thinking of his wife. And if you see his wife, you're going to, hi, Crystal. How's Fonny doing? Because there's an association. Amen? The Bible says God associated you in Christ before the foundation of the world. That means in the mind of God, it is impossible to think of Jesus without thinking of you. It's impossible for Him to think of you without thinking of Jesus. That's why the Bible says if the devil knew this, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Because when he thought he was killing one man on the cross, the Bible says we died with him. When he went down into the grave, we went with him. When he was raised from the grave, we come up with him. And now we are seated with him in heavenly places. Now we live and move and have our being with him. Because in God's mind, you were always associated in him. He is your life. He is your identity. Whenever he is revealed, you are co-revealed together with him. Stop letting the devil tell you, hey, jy moet nog baie doen om soos Jesus te word. 1 John 4, verse 17 says, as he is, so are we in heaven? Nope. He says, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world. And God is asking you this morning, do you believe it? Because it takes courage to believe what he believes of your life. When you see what God sees of your life this morning, it will change your life. I want to ask if there's anybody here this morning. You are in a place where you feel, I'm so lost. Dance, I can't identify with what you're saying because my life seems to be everything but as beautiful as the life of Christ. Then I want to tell you this morning, don't be defined by your experience. Give Jesus the rightful place in your life. Allow him to live his life through you. The scripture says, now that Christ was crucified with me, I no longer live. But the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Allow Jesus to fill your life with his beauty. Allow Jesus to be your identity, to be your everything, to be the person who defines you, the person who gives you life, the person who can come in every storm in your life and calm it for you. You might even be a believer who sits here this morning and say, wow, I've allowed so many lies to define me. I've allowed so many lies to dictate to me who I am. And this morning I'm truly hearing how valuable I am in the eyes of God. That just as this note carries value because of the inscription on it, and people may have kicked me around, may have hurt me, may have done things that was very painful towards me, that God wants to remind you this morning, he loves you still. He loves you still the same. That no matter what has happened in your life, God is still so at home inside of you. He's still so pleased to make his abode in you, to have his expression through you, that you will afresh this morning say, I'm ready to just surrender my life afresh as a living sacrifice, to have my mind renewed and transformed, to know the perfect will of God for my life. And to let him have his full expression through me. That the devil will no longer lie to me. That I'm not good enough to be of service to the Lord. That I'm not good enough to have God move and flow through my life. God is saying to you, it's time to stand up and to say, I'm taking what God has for me. I'll be like the eagle that responds to the voice of God. And say, thank you, Father, for restoring my heart, my life, my family, my marriage, my relationships, everything in my life. There will be such a massive, I feel in my spirit this morning that God's going to restore people here this morning. God is restoring you from the lies of the enemy. You may have difficulties even in your marriage, in your circumstances, in your relationships, because everything at the moment you're defining by your experience. And God is saying it's time that you define yourself in Jesus. Hallelujah.